Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you so much. Please be seated. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm very honored and undeserving of the honor that I just received. I thank the Lord for God's grace. And to be faithful is because of God's grace and His good hand upon our lives that's given to us because of His mercy. And I thank the Lord so much for being here. I thank the Lord for Hal's Anderson College. Like I said yesterday, there's many men that come to my mind that God used to challenge me, God used to mold me, God used to change my heart. And thank you so much for this college. Thank you, Pastor Wilkerson, for the honor of allowing me to be here and the church last night, and many folks at the church have been able to meet throughout the years, and wonderful people, and the support that this church gives our ministry and men that have been a blessing. We're so grateful. And may God continue to bless. I'm so encouraged about being here, seeing your wonderful spirit, wonderful student body that's here. What a blessing. It's a joy to my heart. And please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. I do covet your prayers that God continues to help us to be faithful to the ministry He's called us to do. And I thank God for this college. I found my wife here. Amen. Wow. The greatest blessing in my life is my wife, Karen. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, "But he shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And he shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." For weeks, I've been asking the Lord to lead and guide, and I want to be a blessing by His grace. And the Lord led me to speak on the subject, the power of God. There's some truths that God has taught me recently. I've been teaching through the book of Acts in our church, and it's been a blessing to me. So I wanted to share what the Lord has shown me these last couple of weeks. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this church, this college. Thank you for Pastor Wilkerson and all the staff and assistant pastors, all the faculty and staff at the college. Lord, thank you for what you've done through this place. And may your good hand, God, may continue to touch this place. And Lord, continue to know that you're the one that prepares servants, but you use institutions like Hal's Anderson College to prepare men and women for the work of the ministry. Lord, continue to use them in Christ's name. Bless this message for your glory in Christ's name. Amen. Luke 24, do not open. The day Christ resurrected, he told his disciples, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power." 40 days later, the moments before he ascended, he told his apostles, the disciples, "But he shall receive power." With God's power, the early church, the apostles, God used in a great way to do great works for God. The book of Acts narrates how the disciples fulfilled Christ's command to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Acts 1 through 7, we see what the Holy Spirit did through the apostles. Acts 1 through 7. Then Acts 8 through 12, Judea and Samaria. And then chapter 13 through 28, the uttermost parts of the earth, emphasizing the ministry of the apostle Paul. The apostles in the early church impacted the world with the gospel. It was all accomplished, young people, through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is found 56 times in the book of Acts. It says there in Acts chapter 4 and in verse 33, If you would please turn there, Acts 4:33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. The power of God. That's what made all the difference, of course, in the work that was done by the early church and the apostles. But I thank God that the same God of the apostles in the early church is our God. But ye shall receive power. What does it mean to be filled with the power of God? Now the word power, dunamis, which means power or supernatural power, is found 10 times in the book of Acts. And it's found 120 times in the New Testament. And as Christians, we need the power of God. Soul winners, we need the power of God. Mom and dad need the power of God. Servants of God, we need the power of God. Therein, and like I read to you in Luke 24:49, Jesus said that she shall be endued with the power which is from on high. Now, the word endued literally means to be clothed. Means to be clothed with a power from on high. The sense of that word endued is it's a sense of sinking into a garment until you are totally covered by that garment. It has the idea of surrendering your will to the Holy Spirit so that your life is covered by the presence and the power of God. The word there, endued, is the same word we find there in Ephesians 4:24 when Paul writes, put on the new man, that phrase, put on. It's the same word. You sink into the new man in order that your life is covered, fully clothed by the new man, in order that you live under his total control. And if we are going to be witnesses, if we're going to live with the power of God, we need to be clothed with the presence and the power of God. The Bible says in Acts 1:8, ye shall receive power. That power that comes from the Holy Spirit, after that the Holy Spirit is the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And yes, when we receive Christ as our Savior, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came to live in us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, in whom he also trusted, after that he heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that he believed, he was sealed with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of promise. And we see, please look with me in John chapter 20, just a couple pages. Acts chapter 20, in verse 21 and 22, then said Jesus to them, again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. He had told them in John chapter 14 that the Holy Spirit would be in them. The Holy Spirit was with the believers in the Old Testament, but after Christ resurrected, all of those of us who believe in Christ, now the Holy Spirit lives in us. And the disciples, Jesus breathed upon them and they received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came to live in them like he, bless God, lives in us. But Jesus told his disciples who had received the Holy Spirit that they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit, that they would be, that they would receive the power of the Holy Spirit, because the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the fullness of the Holy Spirit are two separate events. And many Christians whom have received the Holy Spirit when they believed in Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in them, But many Christians live without the filling of the Holy Spirit. Many Christians live without being endued, covered by the Holy Spirit, by the power of God. That's why, look with me in Acts chapter 1, please. Acts chapter 1. He had already breathed upon them the Holy Spirit. But then he told them there in Acts chapter 1 and in verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Holy Spirit came in power on the day of Pentecost. And Jesus said that you would be, that they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, baptism of the Holy Spirit, the word baptized means submerged. So we're baptized with the Holy Spirit means to be submerged, means to be covered by the Holy Spirit. And when we're baptized with the Holy Spirit, we will live under the total influence of the Holy Spirit. And young person, that's what I long for. That the Holy Spirit influences every thought. That I live under the influence of the Holy Spirit. That it influences my motives. That it influences the way I live. That influences my speech, my counsel, that influences whenever I open this sacred Word of God and I expose it, that the influence of the Holy Spirit would give me the power to be able to rightly divide the Word of God and to apply the Word of God and to preach the Word of God with the power of God. When I knock on a door or I talk to someone, that the influence of the Holy Spirit would use the gospel that I preach, that people may be saved and lives changed by the power of God. How we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to have the power of God in our lives, living under the control of the Holy Spirit, living under the influence of the Holy Spirit is what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, be ye not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. D.L. Moody started a Bible, I'm sorry, the Sunday school class in Chicago. And with a year, he had hundreds and hundreds of boys and girls in his Sunday school class. From that Sunday school class started what is known today as the Moody Church. Early in his ministry at the Moody Church, now he would not allow people to call him pastor or reverend because he felt he never studied a formal education, and he didn't feel that he was worthy to be called a pastor or a reverend. But after early in his ministry in that church, every Sunday morning he would arrive and he would see two or three ladies in the front of the church praying every Sunday, early. And then one Sunday he went up to them and he said to them, "Can I ask what is some of your requests? What are you praying for?" And they told him that they were praying that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that produced an impact in Brother Moody, and he said, "Can I pray with you?" He knelt with him and prayed. And of course, you know the story, that time after that, walking there in New York, Wall Street, he knew that he had been filled with the Holy Spirit. I do not want for you to misunderstand me. I am not advocating an experience, because all of us will have different experiences. But I am advocating that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. remember one time I was driving in Mexico to Torreon to a conference, and I was listening to a cassette tape. So all you students don't even know what that is today, but I was listening to a cassette tape of Dr. House's message called Filled with the Spirit. And as I was driving, he was preaching. I was under conviction. And he said, when you're filled with the Spirit, you know that you're filled with the Spirit. And I thought to myself, and I said, God, I don't know that. And I had to pull off the side of the road to say, God, forgive me. Because I am not filled with the Spirit. We need, as servants of God, as Christians, to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We need to be endued, covered, totally with the Holy Spirit. We need to live and serve under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And so much of what we do, honestly, is done in the power of the flesh. Yes, God uses men with charisma, but you need more than charisma. He uses men with leadership, but you need more than leadership. You need the presence and the power of God on your life. Just briefly, what does the scripture teach about the power of God? Real briefly, please look with me in 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. Just some thoughts, and I want to end with a very practical exhortation. But oh, young person, you need, and I need, the power of God on our lives. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And as pastors and as teachers, we can prepare a good outline and a good illustration, but oh, that our speech and our teaching may be a demonstration of the power of God as we teach and preach the Word of God. But here Paul says about the power of God, that our faith is based, our faith is based on the power of God, because all we are as Christians, beginning with salvation and justification and sanctification and in growth and grace, all we are as Christians is because of God's power. We were saved by His power. We live by His power. We're sanctified by His power. We live a holy life by His power. And we're kept by the power of God. In the book of Ephesians in chapter 1, Paul said that his prayer and this desire was that the church in Ephesus would understand the spiritual blessing that God had given them. And he says this in verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He brought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Oh, young person, if we would understand and realize that the same power of the Holy Spirit that resurrected Christ from the dead is available to you and to me, we can live lives with the power of God and see God's power do great and mighty things. Power in our lives to overcome bad habits, to overcome sinful thoughts, to overcome character flaws, to be able to live with victory, to live the abundant life. The power of God is available to us. There in Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 16, He says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory
to be strengthened with might. The word might is dunamis, by his spirit in the inner man. Yes, the power of God is the manifestation of his presence that works in us. He works in my soul. He works in my spirit. He works in my heart. And that's how I need to live the Christian life, strengthened by the power of God as I go through trials, as I go through circumstances, as I face obstacles, as I face temptation. Oh, how we need the power of God working in our lives. That's what he says in verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Let me ask you, is the power of God working in your life?
When you live and serve with the power of God, you will be a productive Christian. Look what it says in verse 7, Ephesians 3, 7. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual, look at the word effectual, working of his dunamis, his power. The word effectual, the effectual working, that the word effectual talks about, the word Greek word is energia, energy, power and action. So when I live and serve with God's power, it's God's energy, superhuman energy, his effectual working. And when he does the work, when through him I serve, when through him I teach, when through him I win souls, I will be a productive Christian. When we serve and live with the power of God, we will be fruitful Christians. We'll be fruit. Look with me in the book of Isaiah chapter 32, please. Isaiah chapter 32. And in verse 15 and 16, the Bible says, talking about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. In the wilderness be a fruitful field, and a fruitful field be counted for a forest. And then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. Not only will you be a productive Christian, but you will be a fruitful Christian. Fruit that remains. Fruitful Christian. And also in your life, a spiritual life, you'll be a fruitful Christian. When you live with the power of God, look what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 20. 1 Corinthians 4:20. I love this verse. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Young person, did you know that the kingdom of God is in you? The kingdom of God is in me. And the Bible says the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. You will live the kingdom life. The kingdom life is the kingdom of God in us, and through us, his power, through his power, we will experience the kingdom life. We will experience the abundant life, the life of the Spirit. We will live Christianity as Christ laid out in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Oh, how we need power. Please look with me, Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Verse 18 and 19, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me,
to make the Gentiles obedient by the word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of God. When you serve with the power of God, young person, God will use you to do great and mighty works. Let me ask you a question. Do you long to be used of God? Do you long for God to do a work through you that brings Him the glory He deserves? God would use you, and I challenge you. When I was a student, I lived in Baptist City for 2 years, and I was married. Married life sure beat Baptist City, amen? But often I would, at nights, instead of goofing around with, and I'm nothing, but instead of just wasting time, I would find different men out in the field over there crying and begging God. Here in the campus, sometimes after chapel or early in the morning, I would go out there and I would sign some men like Kevin Nguyen and others who I know were out there, and I would see them behind a tree just crying out to God. Saturday mornings, after bus meeting, we'd get together and pray and beg God to use us. There in Chicago, walking up and down the bus route, saying, God, please do something. And young person, and like Dr. Evans says, faithfulness is not measured in days or years, it's measured in decades. And a life with the power of God is measured in decades. To live a powerful life. To serve with the power of God. We will be able to see and accomplish great things for God. We will be witnesses. We will impact the world with the gospel. That ought to be, if you're called to be a pastor, a missionary, evangelist, your heart and your desire should be that God uses you to impact the world with the gospel. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses both unto me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. In conclusion, don't close your Bibles just yet. Just thinking, of course, this is all that I'm preaching. I know you've heard many times from this pulpit. But how do you have the power of God? First of all, I believe you need to know God by walking with. You need to know God by walking with God. Paul said in the book of Philippians in chapter 1 that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings may be made comfortable to His death. That I may young person, I remember I've asked this question to many, many preachers. Some of them are in heaven, like Brother Joe Boyd and Dr. Howells and other men that I was able to rub shoulders and had the privilege just being in their presence and talking a little bit with them. And like Clarence Sexton, other men that I've asked, and I've always asked them, what would you tell me is one of the secrets to a faithful, useful life? And all of them have said to me, walk with God. Walk with God. See, it's walking
because it's a daily continual, it's a daily continual spending time with God.
It's going to the Word of God and saying, God, I want to know you. Speak to me. It's learning to have a personal, intimate relationship based on faith, based on prayer, based on humility, based on obedience, based on being sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit, learning to walk with God. To know God, you will know the resurrection, the power of His resurrection. Young people, you need to have a prayer life. Need to learn to have a prayer life. Seasons of prayer, persevering prayer, which includes fasting when the Holy Spirit leads you. Being faithful to walk with God and pray every single day. I believe also the power of God comes in the same, the power of God will come to you as you live this book. As you live this book, not just know the Word, but live the Word. And a powerful life is a life that lives in obedience to the Word of God. And young person, be filled with the Spirit. How today, we need desperately a different kind of Christianity. Different kind of servants that are not looking for this, that measure their success like the world measures success. But servants of a God that know God, that are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, that live and serve with the power of God on their lives. May God bless you. Heavenly Father, oh God, how we need and how I need the power of God. You're the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Oh God, give us a thirst and a hunger for your power and your presence, being to live our lives influenced by the Holy Spirit, covered by the presence of the Holy Spirit. May we die to ourselves and empty ourselves of ourself. The Holy Spirit, my thoughts. Oh God, please do a work in our lives for the glory of your name. I pray this.